your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now, your host, Rick Moore.
Ooh, that's right. They're talking about me. I am your host. Sorry to keep you waiting, even those few extra seconds. Whew. Did you realize it is the last Sunday in April? That's 4 out of 12. One-third of the way through 2008. I hope you have been very productive and had a lot of fun, boys and girls. Today, we'll make sure that you are fully educated on something that's happening in our area. First, let me take a moment and tell you about my weekend. On Friday night, I spent time doing something, one of the most historic events in the University of Virginia, this gala celebration that was unbelievable on the lawn. The McIntyre School of Commerce moved back to the lawn this year. They had a party, and I was fortunate enough to be invited with my sociology degree and my master's of education. And man, if you weren't there, you missed out because they were rocking. I didn't think that the dean of the School of Commerce could put his dancing shoes on like that, but let me tell you, he's got it going. All right. Today's topic, we will be talking about a program called Smart Beginnings and some of the things that they are doing for the preschool. Miriam, is preschool the best phrase to use for that?
For children 0 to 6.
0 to 6. So a few years there at the tail end that are older than preschool, right?
Yeah, up into kindergarten, getting kids ready for kindergarten.
Okay. We have, and Miriam, hopefully I don't mess this up. Miriam Rushvin.
Yes.
Is with us, Smart Beginnings Coordinator. And this is something that I was contacted by the United Way, but the whole program is actually a group of like 15 or 16 different organizations, correct?
Yes, that's true. It's an initiative of the Partnership for Children, which is 15 or 16 organizations, and United Way is one of them and manages the Smart Beginnings initiative.
We also have with us Kathy Flanders, and Kathy is Program Manager, Children, Youth, and Family Services, and you're going to talk with us about one of the projects of Smart Beginnings, which is a seal of quality for child care, right?
Seal of quality child care, that's right.
So how did you get involved? And how did you get to the point you are now with, I guess, with a volunteer program? And you're allowed to say you get paid.
Well, I do get paid. That's true.
But not everyone chooses this path.
But the importance of early care and learning has always been a passion of mine. And in this community, a group of people agreed with some of that philosophy I had. And together we developed the seal. And then the opportunity to bring it to fruition came through the Smart Beginnings grant.
And also with us today, Shale Wood. Shale, how are you?
I'm great, thank
you. Your official title?
I'm the Volunteer Center Director at the United Way.
Volunteer Center Director. So
that's
you
right.
Are a volunteer, or you direct the volunteers?
I direct the Volunteer Center,
okay.
Right.
And tell me, how and why did you choose this path? Because, you know, this is not the, graduate from school, use your degree, you know, this is in my vision kind of thing for the average person.
Right. I actually have a sociology degree from UVA as well.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank
we are
you.
Rocking the
That's
room
right.
today.
That is right. Now, I was involved with volunteerism at Madison House at UVA and then just continued on in the vein of service as an employee. So,
it's been a while since I had the Madison House folks on the program. I should have them back on again sometime soon.
They're good people.
Yes, they are good people. All right. So, Smart Beginnings. Miriam Rushvin, Kathy Flanders, Shale Wood here to talk about Smart Beginnings, which I guess, Miriam, is that's sort of the tent name for everything that gets done?
Yes. What it is the Partnership for Children in Charlottesville-Albemarle has been operating for a number of years working to support kids 0 to 6. And they applied, United Way did on behalf of Partnership for Children, to the Virginia Early Childhood Foundation for one of these collaborative grants. And we received it this past late summer and began in fall. And Smart Beginnings is the umbrella initiative to help get all children ready for school. It's a private-public partnership, and it has three areas where we implement services, everywhere where children are at, in the home, in schools and with educators, and in the community.
I'm curious, you know, I you hear about it all the time, you read about it in the paper, if you're involved in the, certainly in the government or school systems, of which our area is a big focus. What's the official definition of a grant and how you get it and how it works?
Mm.
I mean, okay, so you've got a grant, and if I remember my notes right, $400,000, right,
for two years. Yes.
So what's the process to get a grant? Who determines that you get the grant? What do you do with the grant once you have it so that you don't lose it or possibly get it back or get it again?
Those are good questions, and it does.
I'm full of them for the hour. Don't be surprised.
Right, it does vary depending on the grant and the source of the grant. But we, for this Smart Beginnings grant, the Virginia Early Childhood Foundation was looking for Virginia communities that already had an existing collaborative and were working in the area of helping children get ready for school, and we had a very effective collaborative. So what happens is that United Way looked at this grant possibility, worked with the Partnership for Children to determine what are some needs where we could move further ahead that are stopping us from being successful in this area. There are quite detailed grant requirements in terms of how you write your grant, what areas you have to address, and how you're going to implement it, and you need to comply with specific guidelines and regulations. Writing that grant, they have a group of reviewers that look at all these grants and say and determine which community they think are best capable. We have certain objectives through our grant that we need to accomplish. We have certain goals and missions that we need to undertake.
So is this like applying for, and I realize it's not a loan, but is this like applying to the bank for a loan saying, this is what I promise to do with my money?
I think it's harder. I think it's more complex, especially for this one, because We implement these services through a lot of partner agencies that actually do the direct services, as
right.
well
so
as United Way.
Who are your partners? I mentioned that there are like 15 or 14 groups. Who
sure.
are some of the people that you're working with? Because I've mentioned the United Way,
uh-huh.
right?
Both
because
the
I think
city.
Kim Conley was the person who,
yeah.
let's give her a, you know, a thumbs up. She
yeah.
contacted me and helped put the program together today.
City and county school systems are both very actively involved with the Partnership for Children. We mentioned Children, Youth, Family Services, CHIP with the Child Health Partnership, the Department of Social Services with both the city and the county, Monticello Area Community Action Agency, the Virginia Cooperative Extension Agency, Charlottesville Redevelopment Housing Authority, the Health Department.
And why are all these people involved? I mean, okay, so the goal is Smart Beginnings. Let's get our kids, you know, off to a good start. We
mm-hmm.
want them to grow up to be healthy, mm-hmm. wealthy, and wise. Why do I care? Because mm-hmm. I don't have any kids.
Mm-hmm.
And is this money coming out of my pocket? And, you know, why are all these various groups feel that they should focus or put some of their employee time and effort into getting this in as well?
That's a good question. I think it's one of the reasons Smart Beginning has been so effective. And in fact, even beyond these groups, we have very extensive business leadership involvement. And it's because of the answer to your question that they understand this. If we get our kids ready for school, they will be more successful in school. It's a wiser economic investment. This is a really smart investment. Invest early, invest less funds, or invest later more funds if kids are not making it in school. It's a workforce issue. In fact, the Chamber understands this so much that they just recently passed a Chamber resolution to support and enhance quality child care in the community because they understand that employees are affected by quality child care options. Recent research says that 22% of employee absenteeism has been related to family issues, including child care.
I thought it was just a nice sunny day.
No. It's an economic investment. There was a recent research done by James Heckman, who's a Nobel laureate, and he's also with Federal Reserve Bank in Minneapolis. And they found that every dollar invested in early learning and a child school readiness delivers a 7 to 18% rate of return on investment. And this relates directly to our economy.
Now, Kathy, yes. Because you're sitting there, and several times I've seen you sort of ready to jump in with to jump in with a comment or an answer. I come back to the, I don't have any kids. It's, you know, I hear the points about invest money now and I'll save money later, and whether that's because, you know, as someone who works a business and I need to find employees, as someone who puts tax money out there that gets spent on social issues, that gets spent on all kinds of needs throughout the county, some of which might be improved or economically improved by having these kids get some sort of better start. But, you know, how long are we talking about? What is the time frame before I see any of this back?
It's going to take a few years before you see it back, but the longitudinal studies that have been done show that those children that were given the opportunity for early quality early learning now have successfully completed college, are making extremely good wages, have not gone to jail, have not cost our government or any state government money in rehab in those areas. Why the Partnership for Children? Why bring these people together that you asked? It's because this was a community with a vision, and they knew and they saw that there was no group looking at the 0 to 5, 6 and what their needs were. And so they came together to address that.
Do all of you have children?
Yes.
Yes.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren. So
yes.
But you had children somewhere along the way.
Oh,
then.
Yes.
Okay. Miriam. Yes.
Yes.
Shale.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I see the phone line ringing. If it's not the telemarketer who was busting on Rusty a little while ago, you are welcome to use the phone today to call in with your own comments and questions. 979-0919. How far out does this reach? Because the station reaches to Lynchburg and Richmond and Harrisonburg and Lexington, 1-877-WNRN Rocks, if you're in those areas and want to call in. So how far out does the Smart Beginnings go? or it's also my understanding that there are pockets of it in other parts of the state. So
exactly.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Our initiative is for Charlottesville and Albemarle. However, there are a number of other Smart Beginnings collaborative around the state. And if any other area is interested, certainly contact your school system and see if you can also write to the Virginia Early Childhood Foundation. They are very interested in supporting as many communities as possible.
Who makes up the Virginia Early Childhood Foundation? I mean, is this, you know, a wealthy family?
No.
Who's got, you know, kids that, you know, money to donate or you know, what is that?
It is a private-public partnership. It came out of the governor's initiative to look at early care and education, and it is a foundation that is closely affiliated with that, and it is a combination of private business people and public, and works with the governor's office very closely.
Jale, I'm gonna look your way when I say this.
Okay.
The caller who, I guess, didn't want to come on, they just wanted to remind me that for people that don't have children, children are the future of the country. We should all be concerned.
Okay.
You want to
Very good.
Comment on that? I mean, because you're working, are you the one working most closely with the kids?
No, actually not at all. I am just sort of an offshoot of the partnership and Smart Beginnings, working specifically on these stencils. What I do on a day-to-day basis is connect volunteers with opportunities to serve.
All
so,
right. And the stencil is going to come up. That's the Playground Stencil Project, which is one of the two particular projects that we're going to be talking about during the hour.
Right.
11:16 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about Smart Beginnings, a program here in the Central Virginia, Charlottesville, Albemarle County area. But there are also, Miriam, how many other, do you know, are there
four or five other? We have the full partnership grant, and there are four in the state. There are, I don't know how many, somewhere between 10 and 50 planning grants in communities that are not quite ready for this. And there are three other areas in the state that have already done the full partnership grant and are sort of at a sustaining level because we look at this long term.
And
they are in Harrisonburg. They are in the Hampton Roads area. They are in the Fairfax area. Those that have been going longer than we are. The ones that are partnerships are also in Richmond and the Roanoke area, I think, and I'm forgetting the...
Well, that leaves, you know, we reach Lexington. You said Lexington was one?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening on 95.3, you can dial us up, Richmond 103.1, and then there's always my sister in the Hampton Roads area who usually listens on... the internet. So you're welcome to dial us up and make your comments if you're familiar with the program. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free number. 979-0919 is the local number as we talk about Smart Beginnings with Shale Wood, Kathy Flanders, Miriam Rushman. You mentioned Governor Kane's project in brief. What's the difference between his project of Start Strong, which got a little grief because his program, as I understand it, allowing all preschool children's kids to attend any public or private school of their choice, which I assume is with government backing and government funds to cover that if the family can't afford it. What's the difference between, how do you sort of hop onto that? Are they tied together in any way?
Yes, they are. His Start Strong is his personal initiative when he became governor related to universal pre-K within the state. And it was it's part of the Smart Beginnings initiative that Governor Warner started where he wanted to look at early care and from 0 to 5 or 6 before children enter school ready to learn. Again, it got a little grief, again, because it's hard. We haven't been able to educate yet enough people about the importance of these years, and it costs money. Universal pre-K costs money.
Well, we had the note that came in from the caller chose not to get on the air. Kathy, you mentioned that you've, you know, still working on educating people the importance of these 0 through 6 years. Mm-hmm. What is so important about it? Educate me. I mean, I realize that you go to school, and now we've gone from first grade, you know, there was kindergarten, and then there was nursery school, but now nursery school isn't just like 4 and 5 year olds. Nursery school is also 3 and 4 year olds, and with the economy, and you have to send your, you know, there's a lot more families where there isn't somebody to stay home and watch the kids all day, so you have to send them off to childcare. You know, teach me the importance of the 0 through 6 years and getting off to an early start.
Go back to that quote again. I'm sorry, I can't remember it, but I believe the caller wisely understands the importance.
For people that don't have children, children are the future of the country. We should all be concerned.
That's right. They are the future of the country. And because of all those areas that you identified, especially the fact that many, many families are not able to leave mom or dad home to take care of the child and let the child experience life, and they must spend their... at home, they must spend their time in a child care situation. Those children need the quality interactions and things so that when they get to school, they are successful, and that by being successful, they turn into healthy, productive adults who become the future of our country, our leaders, our politicians. our business people?
There's another piece that I wanted to mention. There's been some recent brain research that hasn't been around all that long.
Yep.
And I think that's news to a lot of parents and a lot of us in the community, and that's sort of been a wake-up call itself. They found that approximately 80% of the brain develops before 5. And in fact, a majority of our language gets developed by 3. This is a time when we have come to realize that we really do need to focus on a child's development and what we are providing to kids. And it's this early learning moments. This is the opportunity to really provide quality opportunities for whether children in home, whether in child care centers. And that's for all of us to look at in a new way.
All right, 11:22 on the wake-up call. We have a caller. Caller, hang tight for just a moment while I take care of a little business here at the station. Let's see. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain today. Highs 70 to 75. A little cooler in Richmond. Cloudy with scattered showers tonight. Lows 55 to 60. Then mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs 60 to 65 and warmer in Richmond area. Right now, cloudy across the listening area. 62 in the Valley, 64 in Lynchburg, 59 in Richmond, and here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, let me thank those folks at Wild Greens, an American grill serving contemporary and nostalgic American food in a casual dining atmosphere. Wild Greens is open for lunch and for dinner 7 days a week, and for Sunday brunch, 11:30 till 2 in the North Wing at Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. Don't forget Mother's Day is coming up as well. And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics. They're at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And the NRN Spring Fund Drive received over $88,000 in pledges. If you need to still pay your pledge, stop by or mail as soon as possible. You can also still pay with a credit card by calling the station during business hours. The first round of written notices to those with unpaid pledges has gone out, so watch your mail. And this further reminder, about half of the premium packages still here at NRN for those who have already paid but not made arrangements to pick them up, still here. Again, call, come by, get your stuff. All right, we're here with Miriam Rushfin, Kathy Flanders, Shale Wood, as we talk about Smart Beginnings, an educational program for 0 through 6 year old kids. Let me light up the phone. Kathy?
Yes.
This is my sister Kathy from the Hampton Roads area. How are you today, dear?
I'm good. Very nice to hear from you. And I'm listening to the show, and of course, with my educational background, it's piqued some interest, and I had a comment about, just some thoughts about the Smart Beginnings. I'm not very familiar with it. All I know is what I have seen in the advertisements. Down here in the Hampton Roads area, they are running promotional ads for that program. But one comment I wanted to make was that part of, and I don't want to say part of the problem of this, because I am all for having kids ready for school, but on the flip side of that, being ready for school is different than what it looked like 20 years ago when I went to school, and part of that is because of the trickle-down effect. The state of Virginia and their standards, what we expect kindergartners to be able to do now is what we used to expect first graders to do 20 years ago. And my fear is that by having a state-sponsored sort of preschool program is that trickle-down effect will continue to occur, and we will just continue to raise the benchmark. One of the sort of rumors that's been going around for several years that's coming out of Richmond is that they want to change the age requirement for kindergartners, move it back from you know, having to be five by the end of September to having to be five by the end of July. And your initial thought is, oh, well, yes, you know, they need to be ready, and some of our kindergartners are so young and they're not ready to be there. And my feeling is, well, no, we're finding that the curriculum is too rigorous, that our young kids aren't being successful, so let's just move the age back so that we don't have quite so many kids who aren't being successful.
Oh, but isn't that, Kathy, isn't that what Smart Beginnings is all about, is to better prepare? Whether or not you move the age back, you mentioned the trickle-down effect of, and the fear you have of, first graders' former expectations now being the kindergartner's expectation.
Yes.
But how do you, isn't that what this program is all about? Isn't that what Miriam and Kathy and Shale are here to do, is to make these children better prepared for any change in the expectations?
Well, and that's just it. You know, it's a shame that we have to prepare our kids now to enter school, whereas before, and granted, it's because we had more stay-at-home moms, we had more families who were interested in preparing their kids for school, and part of having this mandated preschool program or this large need is because that's not happening. But I still see it as a daggone shame that, we're now saying that our 2 and 3 year olds need to be in a structured environment, and structured, I mean, in 4 walls of a classroom, in order for them to be prepared to go to kindergarten when they're 5.
All right, I'm going to turn down your microphone. I'll leave you on the phone line.
Okay.
And I'm going to let Kathy, who's a program, Kathy Flanders, who's a program manager at the Child, Youth, and Family Services program, make her comments. Fire away, Kathy Flanders.
Kathy, I think that what you're thinking is a universal misperception about what we're talking about in quality early care and learning. We are not talking about putting 2 and 3 year olds in structured environments. We're saying that learning starts even before the 4-year-old preschool age. It starts in the first the critical brain development is in 33, the first 33 months of a child's life. And the way they learn is experiential and through play. And we're not saying quality is a structured environment where they have to learn to sit down and hold a pencil and write their names. They have to learn how to socialize. They have to learn how to problem solve. They have to learn how to develop relationships. They have to learn to feel secure. They have to learn to explore.
So, Ms. Flanders, it sounds like you're not talking so much about what they're going to be taught by their kindergarten or first grade teacher as much as what they are going to have to deal with in the environment of the school system, sitting in a room with, 20 other kids, or being away from their parent for a big part of the day. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
It's more of a social environment?
It's what they have to deal with day to day. It's learning how to cope in and exist in the environment as it exists, and it's a changing environment. It's and it's different for different children in different areas, and they have to learn how they can, and the early care that's quality early care is a care that's going to be there for the child and not curriculum driven, but it's child driven, and it's understanding the needs of every child, individual needs, and responding to those needs in a timely manner to make every experience a learning experience. And it's not an easy job for an early child care provider in a daycare center or in a nursery school. They've got to be on their toes, and they have to understand child development. They have to understand the needs of the child at that given time in their life.
My sister, final comment before I hang up and...
Yeah, I just want to say that, again, I am all for you know, having kids ready for school. But, you know, again, I go back to the original comment of, you know, kindergarten used to be all about social, emotional, school readiness. And unfortunately, it's no longer, that's no longer where that happens. I mean, if you aren't reading by the time you leave kindergarten, you are now considered, you know, at risk. So, you know, I applaud, you know, this program, and it's definitely needed. Again, I just think it's a shame that, you know, we are holding these young kids to such a high standard now, and I think that as the state of Virginia, we need to be looking at that. So I applaud you ladies, and again, when they come to me as kindergarten, I appreciate everything that's been done, and keep it up.
I'm sure I'll get an email about this later. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, 11:32 here on the Wake Up Call. Miriam Rushman, Kathy Flanders, Shale Wood here. And I want to get into the projects in just a second, but let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. You can get all your spring travel gear from them, including shorts and duffel bags, cool sun hats, outdoor sandals. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. Miriam, you looked like you had something to follow up with.
Yeah, I just wanted to, if I understood correctly, your sister is a kindergarten teacher?
She is, I don't know what the proper jargon is, but she teaches kindergartners and then follows them to first grade and then gets a new set of kids. So she has them for 2 years.
Yes.
And she's in a very urban setting in the Hampton Roads area.
And I just wanted to express likewise appreciation for, I've worked with both, actually, in both city and county school systems, and it is very challenging for educators these days. We are in a changing community. The requirements, expectations are changing. And my hope is that with Smart Beginnings, you know, as we work locally with our school systems, that this is actually a support also for educators, because we're linking more closely the early care environments with the schools, and so that we are also getting input and invites from schools, from kindergarten teachers, what they would like us to know. And so I applaud everybody within the school systems these days. We are in a dramatically changing environment, and there are higher expectations.
And, you know, I don't want to speak for her, but regular comments from her are about somehow helping the parents,
yes,
in that setting, because the parents in their social and educational and financial ways aren't necessarily being able to send their children off to school in the same with the same strength that some of the others were able to do.
And that is another key component of Smart Beginnings. We have lots of resources and materials and programs that work and support parents as well.
Shale, I want to talk about the playground stencil project. Shale Wood, volunteer center director, daycare caring coordinator,
right.
United Way.
Right, day of caring coordinator.
I'm sure your business card is about as big as a three-ring binder.
Sure.
Because my sister mentioned not feeling that the best way to do this, to prepare them for school, was to do it in such a strict educational manner.
Sure.
But the Playground Stencil Project, sort of, that's what that's all about. It's providing that, I think Miriam mentioned it's letting, or Kathy mentioned it's letting the child set the pace and picking the thing that interests them to help them learn all these things. Talk a minute about the Playground Stencil Project.
Sure. I'm part of a Leadership Charlottesville group that's part of the Chamber of Commerce. We're the graduating class this year, and each of us is part of a group that works on a community project to help address community need. And there's about seven of us who have chosen to work with Smart Beginnings because it's fun. You know, we all know that children with additional resources are going to be more likely to succeed. And the stencils were a fun way for us to be involved with this community-wide. There's somebody from the county schools on our committee as well, and so we were excited to be part of this. The idea of the stencils is sort of an offshoot of something that came out of the United Way nationally and part of their Born Learning activity trails, which are trails that are outdoors for parents or child care providers or anybody who's outdoors to use to help kind of guide them as they may be on a nature walk with their child or such an activity.
So what if you're an urban teacher like my sister?
Sure, and there are some that are set up. One of the stencils that we are using, we've actually been talking to the United Way in Chicago with. So they're using these stencils at the schools that are in urban settings as well. So the way that we've approached the stencils is to work with, we started out with MACA, with the Head Start program, to help us determine, you know, what developmentally, you know, are children physically able to do or should be doing at ages 3 and 4 before they go on to kindergarten? Can they hop on one foot? Can they, you know, jump with both feet together? You know, can they balance on a balance beam, you know, that's just painted on the ground? So we've developed these stencils that have just those types of activities, excuse me, that can be then painted either on, you know, concrete or a blacktop or on a canvas that could be used indoors if they don't have a play space outside, as well as things like letters, numbers, shapes, which could then also be painted in colors, so they would get that focus as well. We have a large computer keyboard that's, you know, sort of life-size, so you can jump from letter to letter and, you know, see how...
That's how you learn your alphabet?
Yeah, well, you know, to learn your alphabet, but also, you know, children are typing so much earlier now and using computers earlier. So how do you learn the orientation of where numbers fall on the keyboard or letters fall on the keyboard? And, you know, these stencils are just fun. And we're looking at locations where they can be painted that are available to the community as well. So it's not just child care providers or preschool teachers who are bringing a group of kids, but also, you know, where can parents take their kids on a weekend and, you know, play games, you know, jumping from letter to letter on, you know, on the alphabet trail. And one of the great things about it, too, is providing these activities to parents so that they have ideas going into it about how can I let my child play that's also a learning experience. So there's just a lot
and
of...
The idea comes from where? I mean, because, and I will take grief from this for saying it, and I understand that going in, but it seems like educational graffiti.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
because instead of, you know, tagging it with whatever your street name is, what you're doing is you're going into the playgrounds and doing school-related spray painting.
Sure. Yeah, we've looked at other things like hopscotch. You know, do you look at that as graffiti or just a, you know, a tool for children to use? We know that kids are not as active as they used to be. So, you know, is it the worst thing in the world that there's something painted on the ground that kids would have fun hopping from letter to letter or shape to shape? And at the same time, you know, they're getting some exercise
but
and they're
learning the alphabet. What's the response from the kids? I mean, do they look at this as fun and amusing or do they look at this as, you know, where's my video game?
No, fun, definitely. And, you know, not always educational. You know, they don't, it's not like they're sitting down and having to learn their ABCs from a book and having
right,
to write it.
Right, if you're in the classroom at your desk, that's being taught. If you're outside in the sun,
exactly.
That's
you're
a different
you're having
viewpoint.
Fun, you're learning at the same time. You know, and maybe it's not even that they're seeing the letters. Maybe they're using the letters or the numbers and imagining that there's something else. They're on a ship in the middle of the ocean and they have to jump from thing to thing. You know, so they're imaginative tools as well. And, you know, I think kids are so structured these days that, you know, that might be not such a bad thing that they can just go outdoors and play and pretend and, you know, enjoy learning all at the same time and giving parents and educators tools to be able to do that in an interactive way.
All right, Shale Wood talking about the Playground Stencil Project, one of the projects that we're talking about today with the ladies representing Smart Beginnings. Here in the studio, Miriam Rushvin, Shale Wood, Kathy Flanders, 11:40 on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, Bruce Springsteen is coming to town. So The Hook tells a few little-known stories about his previous visits. The Sierra Club has changed positions on the local reservoir plan. As of this week, the group promotes dredging to create a deeper pond, then building a dam to just increase the space. And what's up with Charlottesville's downtown 3rd Street? Dig it up, block it off, make it look pretty. Now do it all over again? The hook, there's no price increase here. Always free. And additional support today coming from 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates, available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And our man, Drew Thompson, just walked into the room. Les Temps Purdue at noon. If French isn't your thing, that's The Time's Gone By. On WNRN, that's 80s and 90s alternative. Tune in for it next. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back to the action at hand. Smart Beginnings, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We had a caller who left us a message that said, I guess this is in response to my sister's call, children are developing younger, so why are we worried about educating them at a younger age? Kathy Flanders, you broke a smile immediately, so I'm calling you on that. Why? I mean, is there a problem with that? Is there a different?
Children develop, are not developing younger. They're being exposed to more at a younger age than they were 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Children develop at a certain pace. They develop cognitively, they develop social emotionally, they develop physically. They all go through the same stages. The importance of making that development maximum is to get the experiences there for them at the age that they need to have them for the brain to develop so they can go on later to be educated, if you will, to learn their ABCs, to understand and then apply them to reading, to learn math concepts. They're not being educated younger. That's another misconception. They're experiencing situations that will promote the brain development.
All right, let's talk about your special role in Smart Beginnings, Kathy, Seal of Quality Childcare. Mm-hmm. And my vision of that is almost like a notary public, you know, where you get that on your letter. This is something that, is it state run, or is it just, is this part of the Charlottesville Albemarle Smart Beginnings, where what you're doing is you are going in to child care providers and looking them over for various, you know, checklist items and saying, this is what you can do better. This is what we think you're doing well on. And when you reach the certain level, you know, get the proper grade, you say, good child, good quality provider, and here's your seal.
Okay. It's not a checklist, but yes, it is. And it's a local, first of all, it's a local initiative. Back in 1998, a group of the partnership, as a matter of fact, said we need to look at early care and education and improve the quality of it. And so a group of people that are professionals in the field of early care and learning came together and worked for 2.5 years to develop the four levels and what was going to constitute each level. And they went and they identified key factors that had to be part of what quality care and learning was. And they all had to address different areas: training of the providers, and the environment of the center or the family daycare home, the interaction between the program and the parents. A quality program helps parents solve the problems they might have by being aware and helping them move out and finding resources.
And give me an example of that. You mean like dyslexia or something?
Well,
like that,
that's a very good example. A child is in a 2-year-old room and we have no language yet. Mom might understand the child perfectly well. older siblings, younger siblings might be able to understand the child, but the child cannot communicate clearly. And the primary provider in that center or that family daycare home says to the parent, you know, I've noticed this about Johnny, and I've done some research, and I would suggest you consider taking him and having him evaluated for a speech. He could have one of many different simple problems that are fixed, or he could have a more profound problem, and that help now is going to make a difference later. And so that's the type of support that a parent has.
I'm curious. It seems like, and again, this is me learning through you, as we are talking with the Smart Beginnings women, program run here in the Charlottesville, Aubuin area, but also found in a few other areas throughout the state. Seems like something that I would see at some of the larger area child care providers with you going in, because they almost have to have the seal, right? I mean, that's something that they want to advertise. They want to be able to say, you know, pay the child care rate to me because I have the seal, and they don't. How do you get to the smaller places?
It's growing. It's a growing thing. It's what we hope will eventually happen. We have only two family daycare providers now in the project. But I think that once we get known more, and we're at a level where we can really put it out there, where we have a number of centers at levels 2 and 3 or possibly 4.
How many you have to have, if you keep more than certain number of children, you have to have a certificate from the state, correct?
Correct. In the state of Virginia, you can legally operate as a family daycare provider with 5 children.
Okay. And how many of those are in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area? Do you know? I mean, you said 2 have seals, and I'm assuming that those are 2 of the larger.
No, there are.
They're not.
No. There are 15 child care centers involved.
And by center?
I mean a full-day program. For instance, Barrett Early Learning Center.
Okay.
The Salvation Army Child Care Center.
Okay.
And then we have smaller programs like Molly Mickey Preschool or Park Street Christian.
Okay.
And then we have places like the Piedmont YMCA. I'm not naming them all. And God, please forgive me, all of you out there, if I didn't mention you.
Didn't mention you.
And we have 2, as I said, we have 2 family daycare homes, both of which are state licensed, which means they care for 6 or more children. And one of them cares only for children until the age of 3, and the other cares for children from birth through age 6 or 7.
And all of these, all the ones you just mentioned, and many of the ones who we don't have time,
I didn't have time to list.
You have the seal of quality child care program has been inside to start working with them to earn the seal.
That's
if
correct.
They have already not earned it.
They have come on board and said, I want to participate. And each one of those programs that are participating now get what we call a child care quality educator, who is like a mentor, who goes in and uses our little checklist to see where they are. But it's not a checklist. It's okay. They only have 10 hours of training, and we need them to have 14 hours of training. So what can we do to work with you to increase the number of training hours? And, oh, by the way, it's not going to cost you money, because we're going to give you the training free.
Okay. You mentioned money. A key word that I found when I was researching this project as part of the overall Smart Beginnings program, and I may misspeak the line a little bit, but pretty much what it said was, you know, the larger the tuition does not mean the better the child care. Paying tuition didn't mean you were going to get somebody to really, you know, watch over your kid and give you the best child care that you could, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the seal is meant to be a help to everyone in the community.
Correct.
Okay.
To the providers, to the children that are in those settings, to the parents, to know that they've got their child in a quality program.
But doesn't it, despite its good intentions, doesn't it increase the cost of the child care to the family if they have to provide more training, if they have to, or some of the other things here? They need, they are also checked for their curriculum materials and items that they provide and et cetera.
Yes.
So those things to me cost money.
That's true.
For the program, for the child care institution, aren't those things passed on to the family who's going to bring in their kids?
Currently, no. Under the program as it's set up, part of the grant that we wrote for, we have incentives to participate.
Ooh, see, you're smooth.
And the incentives, yes. I think so. Anyway, the incentives are there to provide, if you will, acknowledgement that these people are taking their time and agreeing and working toward a higher level. Supply and demand. The demand is out there. The supply is, nobody's shutting their door because they.
They're not afraid of you.
They're not afraid of us. No.
Does the program help the family? Because I would think that of all the, whatever the grand intent of the program seems to be to provide the, better for the kids, which makes it better for the family, which makes it better for everyone else. But do you help the family who does not have the time, does not have the resource, whether that's financial or network, to make the decision on where the childcare goes, as opposed to just the woman that they know down the street who keeps the kids in the neighborhood, or the carpool person also takes their kids there, so it's really easy if we do the same thing. Do you sit down at any point with individual parents and say, here's what we know?
Don't go that deep, but we do go into what to look for in a quality program. And eventually...
How do you do that? Do you have group meetings? You go to the neighborhood?
No.
Do you invite them all out to YMCA?
No. Actually, another hat that I wear is Child Care Resource and Referral, and we give parents a little little chart, if you will, or a little cheat sheet, the questions they need to ask the provider, things they need to look for when they go and interview a provider. And it's a process of educating parents on what to look for. The neighbor down the street, the person that the carpool people use, there's nothing wrong with that. But we hope eventually that those people will also say, I want to be in the SEAL. I want to be part of the SEAL. The SEAL is what it is about child care here in Childsville and Elmo.
And that's exactly why we're promoting the SEAL, so more and more parents can know. And the SEAL is designed to be very parent-friendly, that as it gets underway and grows in the community, you can find out, is your child care center in the SEAL? Where are they at in the SEAL? And what it's about. And that's exactly the point. Give an easy tool for parents to learn more about it. And the other piece I wanted to mention is that the SEAL has been very exciting to our leadership council, our business community, because they understand how important this is. And they have jumped on board in supporting the SEAL.
You have a lot of what were referred to as public-private partnerships.
Yes.
Take a moment to explain that and who's participating and how it works.
Be happy to. And, in fact, we have a very, very active leadership council, and it's one of the exciting components I find of being involved with this, is that the business community is strongly on board. Our leadership council is chaired by Robert Pianta, Dean of the Curry School of Education. He's also a national expert in early care and education, so we are very lucky. We also have actively involved and excited, especially about the SEAL and other initiatives, Virginia National Bank, Bank of America, community leaders, LexisNexis.
Are they providing the some of the extra funds that didn't come included in the grant?
Well, there's matching fund requirements, but they are also involved. For example, now that you mentioned Bank of America, was involved a leader with the review committee that looked at the incentives that were going to child care providers. They are involved with, in fact, at LexisNexis, talked to employees about child care needs. State Farm will be doing a child care survey on what employees need. We have both the hospital leadership involved. We have Pew Partnership involved. We have LexisNexis, I mentioned. They are involved in resource development, but also talking to their employees, also looking at how to extend this into the community. The chamber is very actively involved, and a lot of these business community members are part of that chamber initiative. Because folks understand, we need to do this. This is community-wide investments. This makes sense to our workforce. SNL is very involved as well.
All right, 11:57 on the wake-up call. The last few minutes here with Miriam Rushman, Shale Wood, Kathy Flanders, as we talk about Smart Beginnings. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Ladies, you mentioned earlier that you got the funding in the summer of 2007. So here we are in April of 2008. So pretty close to being, at least academically, finished with 1 year. I'm curious as to any lessons learned or changes set for year two. Shayla, let me start with you because I feel like I gave you your 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and then I've let you drift quietly into the corner while you hid behind my computer terminal.
Oh, that's okay. Miriam's the guru here.
Well,
so.
But we'll go back to your comfort zone of the stencil project.
Sure.
What would you do differently, or what have you added because you knew that you got this done smoothly for year one? What are you going to do for year two that's a little different?
Well, we're still in our year one finishing up with the Leadership Charlottesville group. And, you know, what we've learned is it just takes time to plan with people about where we're going to paint and what the colors are going to be and that kind of thing. We met recently with the city of Charlottesville and, you know, we've proposed several different parks and we're excited about, you know, where those are going to end up. And we're still going through that process. But, you know, moving forward, our Leadership Charlottesville group will be done with this, but you know we really look forward to having additional stencils painted by Day of Caring volunteers or by other service groups from UVA or from other companies. So I think this is just going to be a continued process to put down more stencils and have kids everywhere jumping on them. So we're excited about it.
Miriam and Kathy, for you know as year one finishes, what do you have planned for year two? Learning issues that you have set up?
One of the things that I found just real briefly is that this community gets it. The business, the educators, the higher education, they get it. And that we can bring a lot more people on board to really make this effective. We have a little over 7,000 kids that are between 0 to 6. We can really make a difference. And I wanted to also throw out, if people want more info, then go to smartbeginningsinfo.org. Or call me, and I would be happy to provide more info, because we haven't even touched on many of the initiatives. There's so many. 972-1702.
All right, we only picked two.
Yeah, and you can also go right now to the downtown library, to the health department, Johnson Elementary, and you'll see our kiosk, resource displays with info on it for anybody to pick up.
All right.
And my hope for the future is doubling the number next year that we have.
Doubling the number.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Always a good effort. Ladies, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
If you missed the entire show or part of this entire show, SeavillePodcast.com. You can catch us there. Should be up later in the day, hopefully. Next week, Barbara Norden will be with us. You may remember her name from former Writing with the Hook. And we'll talk about Unsolved Mysteries of Charlottesville Albemarle. Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning. starting at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.